And now it's time for Rodman Radio with Top Along John Cassian, Pro Bass Angler Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Tochihara. Hey, if you're a sports enthusiast and you like deep sea fishing, or you love to wade a high Sierras or Alaska stream, or if you just like to take the kids to the local lake and dangle a worm for a trout or a crappie, this is the show for you. We talk about bass tournaments, saltwater tournaments, we have fish reports, and we'll give you information on how to and where to get in some of the best fishing in Southern California, Baja, Mexico, Alaska, really all over. And we're going to talk about some of the fishing trips we have scheduled where you can join us and see why we love what we do. Rodman Radio is brought to you by El Cajon Ford at Broadway, Maine. Online, it's ElCajonFord.com. Whether it's a new or used car or truck, or you want to take advantage of San Diego's first quick lane for service while you wait, or brand name tires at competitive prices, as Tony Gwynn says, nobody beats El Cajon Ford. We have some fantastic guests tonight, and on our upcoming shows, we'll talk to some of the top bass pros in Southern California, and we'll have reports from local lakes and the saltwater boats fishing off our coast. It's all right here, right now on Rod and Reel Radio, the best place on radio to get information about fishing opportunities all over the United States.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Is that close? No, I can't tell when I...
Rod and Reel Radio is on. We are broadcasting to you live from the Boulder Station Hotel in beautiful Las Vegas. The Boulder Station is a home of the 30th One Bass U.S. Open. And Stan, I can't tell you how many people have come up and said, where is Stan tonight? They want to introduce to you my co-host, Stan Vandenberg. Stan, you're going to be missed here.
Well, you know, it is just really tough to be sitting where I'm sitting instead of sitting there. I would much rather be over there, you know, being part of the posse and taking my chances against the best of the best. I just think that's one of the most fun tournaments that you can fish, because if you can stand in the game over there, you can stay in the game anywhere.
You know, I was talking with Dean Rojas, who's going to be on with us a little bit later, and I said, Dean, I said, you're fishing this elite tournament. I says, how can you get up for all these tournaments? And then you come to Las Vegas and you fish the U.S. Open. I mean, you flew out here. We had him on the show last week. He was rushing across the country to get here. He's going to leave again 2 days after the tournament to go back to Indianapolis. And he looked at me and says, John, the reason why I fish this tournament is because it's fun.
Yeah, that's exactly... You know, you're not looking at, you know, being the angler of the year. You're not looking at having a points situation or whatever, having to fish a circuit. You're just able to come out and put your skills up against some of the best people in the world and have a great time doing it. And then when you're done, you can go home. It's a really fun tournament.
Hey, Stan, let's take this opportunity to introduce our listening audience, too, to our other co-host, Wendy Tochihara, the rep from Iserline. Wendy, good evening to you.
Good evening, you guys. You must be roasting over there, John.
Well, you know, we are in air-conditioned comfort over here at Boulder Station, and I've got to tell you, when the U.S. Open was run in July, we were running in 115, 118-degree temperatures. Right now, I think they're anticipating the temperatures will be in the high 90s, 20-mile-an-hour winds, and the possibility of thunderstorms maybe Monday through Tuesday. So it's definitely cooler, but
really,
Wendy, you're right.
So the weather's going to change, and it's going to drop down from in the hundreds, you know, high, very high when you get into the 110s plus. Man, being on the water, I've been on it when it's 121, but it's not fun. So to drop it down into the 90s is actually going to make it play a little different than the guys. If they haven't been pre-fishing in that, it's going to change up a little bit. And then it's going to change, too, with the clouds. The colors you throw change on that body of water. This will be an interesting first couple of days then.
Yeah. Hey, Stan and Wendy, let's get to our first guest because she's here. And this is a person that I've known for a long time. In fact, we were just talking before we came on the air. I think the first tournament I ever fished here on Lake Mead, she was here with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. A lot of you would recognize this lady if you fished any events here at Lake Mead. She's the gal from the Nevada Department of Fish of Wildlife that's always checking out your fish. I want to introduce our listening audience to her. Everyone give a big welcome to Tony Stevens. Tony, how you doing tonight?
Hi,
Hi, I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming. I know that you've got a big 3 days ahead of you, and you're going to be talking at this meeting later on tonight about a little bit about the rules. But just tell us briefly, what are your responsibilities with the Nevada Department of Wildlife, especially when it comes to monitoring fish here at Lake Mead?
Well, I've been doing this for quite a few years. I monitor all the fishing tournaments that are held out on Lake Mead, just to make sure that they're in compliance. And also, it's a information gathering for me. I've been able to document the smallmouth bass as we started finding them here more and more in Lake Mead, and now they're very prevalent. Some tournaments are up to 50% or more of smallmouth bass, depending on the time of the year that come into the tournaments. It's like I said, it's a good fact-finding information for me, as well as being around the anglers and seeing how they're doing. It's a good way of seeing how our lake is producing as far as the bass go. We do have several other studies that we do with the bass to see each year what kind of a growth rate we're going to have. And it's really interesting. I also monitor the striper tournament. I also do the krill census all over Lake Mead, so we see exactly what the percentage of angler rate we have, what our harvest rate is, catch rate, what the preference is, where the anglers are from, what part of the lake they're fishing, and also what kind of bait they're using.
Now, you know, Lake Mead has been subject to fluctuation ever since it was built here. It didn't seem like it was that long ago that they had the floodgates up and we were fishing all the way up the Colorado River at Columbine Falls. Unfortunately, we don't have that water level right now. That water level's probably down maybe 100, 110 feet from those type of days. How does that type of water fluctuation affect the population of fish here at Lake Mead?
Well, in the last 10 years, we've been dropping considerably. What feeds the Colorado River, and particularly Lake Mead, is the west side of the Rockies. So if their snowpack is low, then we don't get the water. So much water has to flow through each lake of the Colorado on into California and other areas for their irrigation. So when we don't have the inflow of water, but we still have the outflow of water, we go down. 2 years ago, the west side of the Rockies had considerable snowpack, so we came up about 50 feet. Last year we dropped about 20, and it's been about that same this year that we have lost. But we're still maintaining part of that 50% or 50-foot in increase that we got a few years ago. But it's hard as the water goes down. We lose structure, which gives the small fry nothing to hide in for predation. And it also affects the bait fish that we have that have certain breeding grounds in the late spring and summer. And so it has had a great impact on our fishery. However, we remain strong. Lake Mead is a very large body of water. So we're holding our own, but we have seen changes in the catch rates.
Well, I guess one of the biggest changes, besides the water level that we see over here, and then also with the introduction and the way that the smallmouth is taking on, It's now with this invasive species that we call the quagga mussel. And how is the quagga mussel affecting the fishery? We know how it affects everything that they use for water here, because they hate it here when it comes to the gates and the gauges and the pumps and all that kind of stuff. The quagga mussel is not the friend of the people that need water. But when it comes to the fishermen over here, how are you viewing the invasion of the quagga mussel on Lake Mead?
Well, with the introduction, not planned, of the quagga mussel here in January of 2007, the thing with the quaggas is they cluster. So they will cluster onto pipes, they will get into bilge systems, they get into the engines, and that's where they do quite a bit of damage for those boats that are moored continually on Lake Mead. Another problem we have with them is the quaggas are filter feeders. So they feed on plankton, zooplanktons, the same type of feed it is for the small fry, rather that be for larger smallmouth bass, stripers, or any other species of fish that we have. So with the low water levels, we have poor cover, and then with the quaggas, they compete for that same food chain. And so in that respect, it can have an adverse effect. However, we have not seen decreased numbers in our fishery. We seem to be holding our own. What seems to harm us more is if the food chain, if the threadfin shad particularly, if those numbers are down, that affects our fishery as far as the condition factor of the fish, which is one of the things that I do.
Now, is there anything here in the lake? Oh, Stan, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to ask a question about, you know, with the water coming up that 30 feet, it did put some of the brush back into the water that hadn't been there for several years. As the lake dropped, when it came back up, was there enough to make a difference? Because you did have areas that your shad can actually, you know, breed and spawn in, and there was some cover. Has it stayed?
I only got part of your question, Stan, but when the cover is gone, then we don't have anything. And that's when we lose water, we lose that cover. But that 50 feet of increase we got, it was great. We had a great amount of cover for small fish. So in that respect, we haven't lost them all.
Yeah, Wendy?
Tony, I have a question regarding habitat. Do you guys have any type of habitat restoration project going on?
No, we do not.
No.
Not at this time.
You know, Stan, one of the things that the fishermen are talking about is that the water level here has been pretty stable for the past few months. As a matter of fact, it went up a little bit. So those grass beds that were here in the springtime are still covered with water. And now what's happening with that submerged foliage and everything, fishermen are actually saying there is some color in the water, and they're actually seeing colored water. While for those of us that have been fishing Lake Mead for many years, you know, you can look into the water and you can see 60 feet down, and it's gin clear. So there is color in the water. Now, Tony, the quagga mussel, I wanted to ask you the question. Is there anything that you know that actually eats the quagga mussel? I know we have fish in Southern California called shell crackers that eat it. Some people say that crawdads eat quagga mussels. Some people even say that the smallmouth bass like quagga mussels. Is there any truth to any of that?
There are. There is a duck and there is a fish, at least one that I know of, that will prey on them. We do not have either one of those species here in Lake Mead at all.
All right. Hey, you're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540. Wendy Choshihara is with us. Stan Vandenberg's with us. One of our guests here tonight is Toni Stevens. She is with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. We're going to be talking to a lot of people here. We are at the home of the One Bass U.S. Open at the Boulder Station. Got to take a break right now. We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. You can count on El Cajon Ford. I do, and I have for years.
El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like Fusion, Motor Trend's 2010 Car of the Year, and America's favorite, the all-new F-150. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, and for some fun in the desert, too. Now at El Cajon Ford, get special savings on your favorites, like Super Duties. El Cajon Ford has commercial trucks, too, including the all-new Transit. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford is proud to partner with great businesses like Alonzo Painting and Construction, B&B Heavy Equipment Sales and Rentals, Kirk Paving, Aztec Landscaping, and Western Rim Constructors. New or used, come to El Cajon Ford, worth a short drive from anywhere in San Diego County. Just take 8 East past the Grossmont Summit to the Greenfield exit in El Cajon, then left on Greenfield over to Broadway in Maine. El Cajon Ford. Shop the entire selection online anytime, like right now. ElCajonFord.com. ElCajonFord.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
It's a big deal, you know. I've always wanted to be on Rod and Reel Radio Line. I won the Bassmaster Classic. I did a McDonald's commercial, but now I know I've made it. I fulfilled my dream. That is just absolutely awesome.
Southern California, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg's with us. Wendy Toshihara is with us. We are broadcasting to you live from the home of the U.S. Open at Boulder Station. It's the 30th edition of the U.S. Open. We're going to have Billy Egan on with us in a little bit just to tell us some of the happening here right now. We are talking with Toni Stevens. She is with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And joining us also is Mr. Dean Rojas. Dean, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's glad to be back on Rod and Reel Radio.
Yeah. You know, Dean, we're lucky we got on the radio again because you were talking with Toni. Toni, a lot of places here that people can fish and cannot fish at Lake Mead, but for the most part, most of the lake is open to fishermen all year round, is it not?
Oh, that's correct. There's very few areas that are off limits.
Okay, and one of the things that you're going to be doing is you're going to be talking to the fishermen here later on, giving them instructions of things that they should be doing with regards to where they can go and where they cannot go.
Correct.
And, Dean, this is a procedure that happens in every tournament because there's off limits, the places that you want to fish that you can't get to. Mead's pretty accessible, but I remember when you fished the Elite event up at Green Bay, they cut off a whole bunch of the area over there where a lot of you really wanted to fish.
Yeah, that's something that we deal with every event is fishing. I mean, the off-limits areas are where we're not allowed to go. And, you know, a lot of the landowners, they'll put up posted no fishing, but actually it is legal to do there because it is public water. They don't have the right to do that, but they go ahead and do it anyways. And then you have other places where, if they've actually dug it out, excavated, you know, all of the dirt out of there and created their own deal, they're allowed to say no fishing. This is private property, even though it is you know, tied into the main
There was an event that you fished one time, I think it was on the Red River, where you had inadvertently cast into an area that was a private, out of bounds, or was kind of nebulous, but you immediately went to the tournament officials, and I think for that day, didn't you disqualify yourself?
Yeah, that was the one time I've ever been disqualified in an Elite Series event, and I was always under the impression, again, I was only there for a few years, you know, learning, because this is a lot to learn about the rules and everything, because there is so many little gray areas, so to speak. I was always in the impression that if you were physically in, you know, legal water, you were okay. If you were inside the off-limits area, then, you know, there's cause for disqualification. But I didn't read the rules properly. I made several casts across the line there and did catch a couple fish, even though I caught most of the fish on the legal side because I made a cast over there, and my amateurs were also disqualified also, you know, for that infraction. And, you know, it's just one of those deals where it's just, you know, it's a gray area, and it can go either way. I mean, you can either just, you know, slide by, or they'll hammer you and, you know, and the queue, and that's exactly what happened in that deal.
Well, just like with Toni, one of the reasons why it's important to listen to Toni, because she's going to bring up some of those points where you can and you cannot fish. I think in your situation, Dean, that was just something that was really never covered in any of the pre-meetings or anything like that where you could or could not
fish.
Well,
it was an area, it was a lake, you know, but it had access water was coming in and out of there, so you could fish in there. But again, they had mentioned that it was off-limits, and I knew it was off-limits in there, but I felt that physically, as long as I wasn't in there, then I was okay. But because I cast in there, that was where I broke the law, and trust me, I've learned my lesson, and every time there's a gray area, I go the other way, and I don't even go near it because something like that was I took it pretty hard because, you know, in our sport, you know, it's all about etiquette, you know, it's all about sportsmanship, and you know, and doing the right thing. So for me, it was hard, but you know, you just move on.
We have Toni Stevens with us. She is with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And Toni, we talked about the lake being down.
Yes.
From what you would consider full pool, how far down is the lake right now?
Well, because we do fluctuate, you know, and we usually do not hold a steady elevation, but we've come down about the most 110 feet over quite a period of time. The majority of that's been in the last 10 years.
Now, 110 feet means 110 vertical feet.
Yes.
But there's very little in this lake except the narrows that's vertical. So when you come down 110 feet, you start exposing a lot of shoreline. Now, with the lake down this low, is there any estimate about how much shoreline, though, is still available for fishing on Lake Mead?
Well, we just like to tease people and say, well, we're just consolidating the fish for you by lowering the lake levels. But actually, depending on the area, you can about one vertical foot is approximately 20 feet of shoreline.
Wow. So when the lake's at full pool, I think I've heard numbers, is it like 1,100 miles of shoreline, or when the lake's at full pool, how much shoreline is there?
We don't have that much. We've got over 500.
Okay.
And then we've got over 500 vertical feet.
All right.
Of depth. We are the deepest man-made reservoir in the country.
All right. Hey, it looks like joining us right now, too, is Billy Egan. He is the director for One Bass here at Lake Mead. And Billy, hopefully I've got you squared in over here. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. How about you, John?
All right, man. You are just running around crazily over here, but what an event you've got going over here. You know, we've talked to you on the radio for the past couple of weeks, kind of giving teasers and tasters, but this is the real thing. It's here. Tell us about what's happening.
Yeah, we're live, as they say it. We're here at the Polar Station Casino, the host hotel of our U.S. Open, our 30th anniversary, sponsored by Nitro Boats and Mercury Motors, presented by Costa Del Mar. And we've got 128 boaters out here looking to walk away with that championship and, you know, really plateau themselves up in the big leagues up there. And we got a bunch of young guys wanting to, you know, compare themselves with some of these elite anglers we've got out here, and we've got the elite guys wanting to show them that they're still down there in those younger ranks. But you know, it's going to be a great event. We look forward to 3 days of great fishing. As you know, this is one of the most grueling events there is on the West Coast, and this thing's won by tenths of an ounce. So it's anybody's guess on how it's going to turn out, and we're excited to see it.
I've been spending some time with the young guns, especially from San Diego. They think this is going to be their year to beat up on these old guys like Dean Rojas.
Say that, man. I was always a young guy, okay? I'm always the young guy from the West. Don't ever say that again, John. Whenever you refer to the young guys, I'm right here, okay? I'm still here.
Attaboy.
Now, Billy, there's a lot of things that you do with this tournament, but there's really some new features, and I think one of the most exciting features is the general public that can't be there, their access to the information on what's happening at this event. And can you go over a little bit about what that is all about?
Yeah, after last year's successful event that we had, we contacted Dan O'Sullivan and Mark Jeffries and Dave Rush, and really wanted to take this tournament and bring it out to the masses and allow the people at home to really see what the U.S. Open's all about and help build our reputation with the U.S. Open to a broader audience. So we're going to be doing live broadcasts for this event from the weigh-ins. We had a pregame show today that I was on, and Dean was on as well, as with Byron too. But every day at 2 o'clock, they can check in at wombass.com for our live weigh-ins, see their favorite anglers come up on stage and present their fish to us for their daily weigh-ins. And basically, we'll have a daily wrap-up show starting about 7 o'clock. It's Pacific Standard Time. With the current top three guys, so they'll be interviewing them. If they're willing to give up any information on what's working, which I doubt, but they'll tell a little bit about what's going on at the lake, how the conditions are, you know, playing out for this event. And every morning they'll be on at 7, 8, 9, and 10 o'clock. Daniel Sullivan will be on the water feeding Mark Jeffries and Dave Rush some information so that the people at home can really feel like they're a part of this event and follow it on online. And like I said, it can be found at wombass.com.
That's well, great. You got, what's Dave Rush going to be doing now? Is he going to be doing the interviewing? You got him out of the box and out there at the pond, huh?
Yeah, we got both Dave Rush and Mark Jeffries here doing the production for us. They're going to be live at the weigh-ins as well as doing the post-show games and the morning shows and keeping everybody at home abreast of what's happening.
And that's going to be live on what? How do you see that?
Yeah, it'll be live on wombass.com. So if anybody wants to follow up, there's a full schedule on our website at wombass.com. So you all know what time to check in and see what's going on and see the weigh-ins and see the big fish that are brought in. And you know, we've got all those different options for the big fish and the big stringers, and it's going to be really exciting. It's really going to propel this event to the level it really needs to be and it deserves to be.
The award ceremony, when it comes up now on Wednesday, is there going to be any broadcast of that? Because that's probably one of the most exciting parts of the entire tournament when everyone's getting together to figure out who won what.
Yeah, as soon as we get done with our live weigh-ins out there at Colville Bay, we'll be rushing back here, setting up the production stage here at the Boulder Station Casino Railhead Room, and the people at home will get a chance to see that award ceremony and find out who the champion is for this year, and when he holds that cup above his head, everybody will be watching at home.
Now, you know, this is the biggest tournament in the West, and tell me, what is Dean going to be winning when he takes first place in this event?
Well,
I Dean, love the way you say that, by the way. I just love that. Keep saying that.
I saw your name in the book over there at the Sunset Station. You're on the top, Dean.
Attaboy, that's good. That's
well,
good.
Basically, with a 150-boat field, we had guaranteed $50,000 for first place. But since we had 128 boats, I think it's somewhere around $42,000, $43,000 for first place, plus that Z8 Mercury motor, that boat package that's waiting out front that's been custom designed for this U.S. Open in the red, white, and blue fashion, which is the U.S. Open's you know, mainframe. We always this is an all-American tournament, so we've got the jerseys custom made to match the boat, and a lot of sponsor prizes, along with you know, the Big Fish awards and all the sponsor items that are coming for some of the best sponsors in the business.
Well, you know, we just got finished with Sponsors Row here an hour ago, and my gosh, all the sponsors that you had over here. And they had their products, and the way that they were allowing access of their products to both the AAAs and the pros over here, it was a great value to just come and be in Sponsors Row this tournament.
Yeah, it gives the anglers a chance to meet and greet the guys who are behind the sponsors and the products so that they can find out more about it, you know, network a little bit, maybe work on their own sponsorships and maybe gain some new sponsorships and walk away some great products. I mean, you know, some of the products here are some of the best out there, and we got Cigar Fluorocarbon, Costa Del Mar, you got Plano Tackle, you got Spro, you got some of the best people in the business supporting Wombass in the U.S. Open, and the anglers that participate get to benefit from that.
Now, we have Tony Stevens over here from the Nevada Department of Game and Fish, and I know that you have, Billy, have been working with her. A lot of people are always worried about the health of the fish, because we're catching fish in almost 90 degree water, we're bringing them out and weighing them in almost 100 degree temperature. So when we come back from this commercial break, let's talk about some of the precautions that are taken to ensure the health of the fish that are coming to be weighed in. But at this time, Stan, Wendy, Bill Egan, Dean Rojas, we have Tony Stevens. We're all going to be taking a break, but we'll be right back after these messages.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
H&M Landing is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Landing's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Landing should be your choice for near shore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Landing, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, I'm Tony Gwynn. Why come to El Cajon Ford for your new car or truck? Because nobody sells for less.
Need more room for your family? Come see us at El Cajon Ford for your new Edge, Flex, Escape, or Explorer, all deeper discount price.
Nobody beats El Cajon Ford. And nobody treats you better.
And we work harder to get you the financing you need with prices to fit every budget. We'll get you more for your trade-in, too. And nobody treats you better.
Come see us at Broadway and Main. And shop online now at ElCajonFord.com.
Hi, my name is Dennis Green, and I always love to talk about fishing. When I want the real information, I go to Rod and Reel Radio. Those guys are who I thought they were.
And Southern California, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. Rod and Reel Radio is broadcasting to you live from Boulder Station in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the 30th One Bass U.S. Open. With me right now is Toni Stevens. She is with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. Dean Rojas is joining us. Billy Egan had to take off because he's got a ton of things to do. So he sent in the backup team, George Kramer. George, how you doing?
Well, I'm here, and I'm backing up.
You know, before we left, guys, and Dean, I want you to stay because I know you've got to run off too. Talked about the extra precautions that are taken to ensure the health of the fish that we catch here. And Dean, I want to start it off with you. You've been fishing BASS, you know, a high-powered organization. They really want to give the persona that not only are they promoting these tournaments and the competition, but also the health of the fish. What kind of a job do they do in doing that?
Well, they penalize us for bringing in a dead fish, and last year it was 8 ounces. So if you brought in two, that was a pound.
Wow.
Yeah, FLW was the first one to implement the half a pound penalty. Bass was always at 4 ounces, and then Bass took it to 8 ounces, and then they backed it up to back them down to 4 ounces again for the fish. And, you know, that's something that we always strive as anglers to keep the fish healthy. You know, everybody has their different way of trying to keep the fish alive, putting ice in there or a catch and release formula, you know. Or for me, I always just put the aerators on all the time.
Yeah.
So there's constantly, you know, fresh water being pumped in there when they defecate or when they have to go to the bathroom or whatever. It flushes all that out. All that acidic water leaves the boat. So all they have is fresh lake water coming in at all times. And, you know, you see sea guys who close their live wells up and they put the you know, the catch and release in there and the ice and all that stuff. Well, the ice has chlorine in it too, so that can hurt them also. So you got to really be careful on your mixture of putting stuff in the live well to help keep the fish alive.
Now, Tony, here in at Lake Mead in Las Vegas, heat is a big factor because as the water gets warmer, less oxygen in the water. Yeah. So what are some of the things that the Nevada Department of Wildlife has done and asked the tournaments to do in helping to preserve the fish that are brought to the scales so that they can be returned safely back to the lake?
Well, as you know, because we do have such excessive heat here in the summer, that it's very difficult for the fish. Like Dean said, he constantly recirculates. Well, you're recirculating surface water, which is obviously the hottest water. But you do have to be very careful. But by using catch and release, some of those chemicals, and by like he says, being very careful with the amount of ice, but to try to keep your fish at least at a little bit cooler temperature. The optimum is no more than 10 degrees difference between the lake water and your tank water. And that's what we try to do. When the fishermen come in and they bring their fish in to the holding tanks, but as they're waiting their turn to get to the scales, we're very careful about monitoring those temperatures. If we get too cold of water, we'll shock and kill the fish. If we're too warm of water, then we're not helping them, and it has the same adverse effect. But the tournaments that I've always worked with go out of their way to be very, very careful of making sure that they do have cool enough water there so that when the fish are being held. And also going to these mesh bags, I think, has helped. We did a study a number of years ago, and of course this depends on how the size of the fish, but an average weigh-in bag with five fish, you've got 5 to 7 minutes, that's not big fish, before you lose all the oxygen in them. Right. But by using either the stones that each guy can have, put a stone in his bag if they're still using the plastic bags, or by using these new mesh bags, there's more of a flow through there, and that seems to help too. And reducing the amount of wait time is very much essential, so that we keep the weigh-in time maybe a little bit slower, but it helps protect the fish, so that these fish are not sitting in bags or in tanks before they get up to the scale. Once they leave the scale, the bags are refilled with fresh water again, if it's the plastic type, and they're taken straight to the live release boat, which is just a matter of a few feet away. There again, those tanks are very much monitored also as to the temperature. And once that boat gets full, it takes off. And then we use a backup boat for these large tournaments.
Dean, I know you've got to take off. You've got another appointment, but I want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, John.
And we'll be seeing you around over here. I know the meeting starts in a little bit. You've got a few things you got to do. Thanks.
You got 2 seconds, Dean, before you leave?
Hey, I've got 4 seconds for you, Stan.
Just wanted to, you haven't fished for a year. You know, you come back, the lake's up about 30 feet from what it was, and we've got some brush in the water. Is it fishing a little different from last year, and are you on a pretty good pattern?
No, I'm like a kid in a candy store right now, so it's good.
Attaboy. So that means you are going to be number one, huh?
Well, just keep an eye on it, and if I'm not on there, then you'll know what happened.
Catch them. Isn't that the truth?
I think Dean, he has enough resources and enough know-how in this fishing game that sooner or later he's going to find them.
Oh, yeah. What do you think is going to be? What weight are you going to have a day? What's your average going to be, you think, Dean?
I think you're probably going to need in the mid to high 30s to win is going to be the deal. We got two big fronts coming in the next few days, which I think is going to accelerate the fishing. And I think you may see some big bags the next couple of days.
It's going to change up with these guys pre-fished.
Exactly. So I haven't really put a whole lot of emphasis on it. So I'm keeping a very open mind about what to do for the next few days. The real big thing is going to be on Wednesday, because the conditions are going to get probably flat again, and it's going to change some things up. So, it's going to help the guys that really pay attention to what's going on the water.
And, Dean, this is such a big body of water. People think that it's so big that you can go anywhere and catch fish that no one has been before. But even with a body of water as big as Lake Mead, it still reacts to the pressure of this type of tournament, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. You've got 128 guys, pros, so it's 260 guys out there going to be fishing. And
127 pros in Kramer.
Yeah, well, you're going to catch your share.
There's a factor.
Yeah. Yeah, them fish are in trouble because Kramer's here, man. Yeah. He's going to catch a bunch of them. But, you know, you have all those guys catching and sticking fish. Absolutely, it's gonna hurt the lake. You know, I mean, in a sense, to do it every single day, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So this is going to be a very interesting open to watch. It's not your typical open. The fishing is not as good as it could be. And with the fronts coming in, it's going to be a whole new ballgame.
So it's going to change things up because all the easy fish are gone the first day of a tournament like this when you got that many anglers, and they're going to cover a lot of that water quick.
Like I said, Wednesday is going to be the day of the U.S.
You know, that will be the edge.
Big day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dean, again, thank you. I know they're
thank
calling
you, so
you away over here.
Okay.
Good luck,
take
Dean.
Care and...
All right, thanks, guys. We'll
good
talk
luck,
to you later.
Dean.
Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Dean Rojas, pro bass angler here fishing the 2012 U.S. Open. And, you know, we're going to take a little time here. One of the guys that just stepped in was George Kramer. And a lot of you know George. We've had George on the radio show before from his writing, his blog, editor of One Bass. George, what writing position in the country have you not held at one time or another?
I never did Vanity Fair.
Or Cosmo.
Yes, I didn't do Cosmo either.
You know, George, you have been covering the fishing scene for more years than we like to mention. The U.S. Open, 30th U.S. Open. Can you talk a little bit about some of the changes and how this tournament has evolved over the years that come to mind real quickly?
Well, you know, time changes everything. Time has changed the lake. The progress in the industry has changed the quality of the fishing techniques and tools. And you put them all together. You know, we used to fish 4 days and it was head-to-head. Now we fish 3 days and we have some help from that our partner. Frankly, at 65, I'm counting on him or her. But I think as people get out there, they understand why we feel so strongly about the value and the role of this tournament. I fished all across the country, and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but they all got their water's all junk. It's got a lot of fish in it, but you know, other if they don't knock you out of on a lock, I mean, there's nothing there that draws me across the country. And this is why I came here to Lake Mead. And I think, and I don't want to patronize too much here, but I think the people here with the Department of Wildlife take care of the fish and still allow us to fish. That's a real big combination
Thank
in the
you.
World today.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, you know, I can recall when I was working with Harvey Naslin 3 years ago, and he wanted to have that weigh-in all the way at the top of where the Colville restaurant was. And we looked at Harvey and go, wait a minute, you want to bring those fish from the launch ramp? You want to bring them all the way up? You want to weigh them? You want to keep them? You want to bring them back down to the holding tank? I said, Harvey, you got to be kidding me. And we worked out a way to do it. You gave us a target that we had to meet with regards to the mortality of the fish. And we came in at 50% of the target, which turned out to be pretty good. And I think they've probably, even since I worked on the events, they've probably even improved that from there, too, with
yes.
a lot of the new techniques they've brought on.
And we have some new improvements in place this year to help even ensure that we do have a good release rate for
right.
the fish.
That, you know, that's great. And I'm really hopeful that I'll catch one so they can take care of it.
And I certainly hope so too, George.
George, you know, over the years, you've seen the advent of catch and release. Before that, it was catch call, it was call rates and everything like that. What has catch and release done to the bodies of water, you think, as opposed to, taking a certain percentage of the fish out of the lake, actually culling them out? Have you really given that much thought to the two methods of looking at being environmentally sensitive?
Well, it does come down to the tradition of sport fishing. If we're allowed to fish and we are prudent the handling and when we release our fish, then there's going to be sometimes as much as 10% natural mortality each year anyway. I think the studies that I've read found that yes, some fish released do not make it, a lot more fish that are released make it than those that are taken home and fried.
That's for sure.
Definitely.
Hey, you're listening to Rod Reel Radio. We got Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Choshihara is with us. We're broadcasting to you live from the One Bass Open at the Boulder Station in Las Vegas. George Kramer is with me. We also have from the Nevada Department of Wildlife. We've got Tony Stevens. Time to take a commercial break right now. We'll be back right after these messages.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy line, Spro products, Gamakatsu hooks, G. Loomis fishing rods, Shimano products, Ovid reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Since 1994, I've put 315,000 miles on my Elkhorn Ford. Thanks to the Elkhorn Ford Service Department, I'm still rolling. For price, service, and selection, nobody beats Elkhorn Ford.
It's tuna time, and it's time to reserve your spot on one of the newest boats in the fleet. The 70-foot Sea Adventure 2 is the open party boat at H&M Landing in San Diego and has a roomy, comfortable galley that seats up to 24 passengers with all the comforts of home, including two big satellite flat-screen TVs, soda fountain, ice maker, and satellite phone. The huge new bait tank and slammer ensure plenty of bait for everyone, and two 4-ton refrigerated fish holds, both RSW and blast-free, have plenty of room to keep your catch as fresh as the minute you caught it. Reserve your spot on the Sea Adventure 2 online at hmlanding.com or call H&M Landing at 619-222-1144.
Book your next fishing trip on the Dolphin 2. The Dolphin 2 offers local one-half-day trips up to two-and-a-half-day trips to the waters off Baja. The Dolphin 2 runs out of Mission Bay Sport Fishing, conveniently located next to the Hyatt Hotel on Mission Bay. With free garage parking, there is no hassle dropping off your gear and trying to find a parking spot. The Dolphin 2 is owned and operated by Captain Greg Meiser. Captain Greg brings knowledge and experience on the water up and down the coast. His unsurpassed work ethic and desire to succeed ensures a memorable trip. His professional and friendly crew is there to assist everyone from the beginner to the most experienced angler. To book your trip on the Dolphin 2, go to dolphin2charters.com or give them a call right now at 619-971-5941.
And welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. Rod and Reel Radio is broadcasting to you live from the Boulder Station in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is the home of the 2012 One Bass U.S. Open. Stan, I've got to tell you, the excitement is beginning to build at 6 o'clock. The main meeting starts. All the pros are beginning to gather over here right now. You know, it's funny, though, that usually they have a collage of fishing pictures and everyone's oohing and aahing at that. Right now, everyone's oohing and aahing at the football game.
Well, that's a good thing to ooh and aah. It takes your minds off the pressure of what you're going to have to do tomorrow morning in the next 3 days here. So, you know, it's not a bad thing. They'll have to cowboy up here pretty quick. As soon as that draw starts to go and they start getting the partners squared away there, and the guys will go off in their little corner and tell their non-boaters what to bring and what their game plan is for tomorrow. And then at 4 o'clock in the morning, they'll be down there at the water getting ready to go again, and then, you know, game on. So a little relaxation time is good at this point.
Well, you know, WN Bass has always done that. They've had their official pre-fish period, and they had that with this event too. The official pre-fish period was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sunday, the lake is off limits. They tell the fishermen to sit back and relax, hydrate. It's also press day, so with the press that is here from literally all over the world, gives you a chance to talk to them, get a chance to talk to a lot of the sponsors that are here right now, and gives the guys just a chance to relax a little bit. And one of the press guys that we have here is George Kramer with us. And George, you know, you've interviewed fishermen for, I don't know, 30 years. Have you seen an evolution in the fishermen of today as opposed to the fishermen of, let's say, 20, 25 years ago?
Well, I think more of them have worked on their public speaking. More of them are more thoughtful about what they do. I think the old-time fisherman was more guarded in what he would let be said, let be told. And the modern guy realizes that if they don't get the information from you, they're going to track it down on the internet or 25 other you know, social medias, and they will get the information they want. So it's
that's the change right there.
Yep. No question about it. No question about it. So I think that's the biggest difference is, yeah, the guys are much freer to talk to you. And I was never one to ask the pointed questions. You know, I'll let them go do what they want to do the way they want to do it.
Well, what do you think is the key or the that this mystique that Lake Mead has? Because, as you say, you can go to Gunnersville and you can go to Falcon and you can catch big bags of fish and you can catch big smallmouth if you're fishing Oneida on Lake St. Clair and all those places. But it almost seems to the person, for the pro fishermen that have been here, Lake Mead has a certain mystique, and they want to come back and they want to fish it again. What do you think's behind that?
Well, I think on one level it fools you. You think, because when it's when your little pocket is good, you think you're really smart. And then the next 4 hours, you find out that you accidentally hit the little pocket and you did really good. But the fact
is, you just had a group of fish that came in a wolf pack and hit that pocket, and they were moving, and that fish isn't going to be there anymore. And you got to go find some other resource or some other location. And if the wind blows a different direction the next day, that changes up your lake too at Lake Mead.
Yeah, every day is different.
Yes, Wendy.
Hey, do you have any predictions on who you think might be in the hunt?
I predict that if I have 23 pounds in the first day, I'm going to be kicking everybody's.
I would predict if you had 23 pounds the first day, George, you're going to be a stud in this tournament.
No, I would think he would have 127 votes following him the next day.
Wendy, no kidding.
Wendy, almost to the man, and I probably had a chance to speak to a couple of dozen fishermen, especially from the Southern California area. They believe that this bite is very much a typical Southern California type bite.
Nice.
And that if there is someone that is going to be winning this tournament, you know, and we mentioned about some of the young guns, that that it's going to be on a Southern California type bite. And it's, Stan, as you said, it's finding the fish. There are some tremendous pockets of fish here. It's just a matter of finding it and getting into it. And I've heard predictions upwards of 40 pounds here. Now, you talk to some of the old timers, and even guys like, and I didn't want to refer to him as an old timer, Dean Rojas, basically saying, you know, I'm not really into the fish yet. I still need a little time to find them. Some of the younger guys, and this is kind of what I was getting at, George, some of these young kids have tremendous fishing sense. I just can't believe how they can adapt so quickly, figure out what the fish is doing, and go out and getting them. And there used to be a few people that were like that, you know, when you talked about the Rick Plums and the Gary Klein and Roland Martins. But, boy, there's a whole big generation. Stan, you probably see them, too, when you're fishing, that they're really on track on what the fish are doing.
Well, there's no doubt that the guys do it faster now. And I know my theory, though, is am I going to make a 1,000 casts to catch five, or can I get away with 200 casts to catch five? I hope I'm more efficient.
Now, George, you run a blog and you write a lot. You think back, 4 or 5 days from now, besides George Kramer stuns the world and takes first place in the U.S. Open.
He stunned the world at 90th.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be, the lead title to your next blog when it comes to talking about the U.S. Open here?
I gave it my best.
Well, I think you have 128 teams that are going to be saying that, and each and every one of them are going to do it. I think the other thing is that, and especially at this event, if you don't necessarily do well in one of the days, it doesn't necessarily mean you're out, because this is a game of ounces here on Lake Mead, and you start getting into some good fish, you can gain a lot of ground in a hurry.
Yep, I'm hoping there's a 6-pounder with my name on it out there, but I still haven't found her.
Well, you know, you don't want to find her before the tournament, George. That's the plan. You're on the plan right now. I'm with you here, buddy.
I actually think
you're what you were saying there. You know, instead of making 1,000 casts, you make 200 and hope you come in. There's going to be an element to this particular tournament when they say it's a Southern California style. The lake has that personality, and especially, you know, when it gets real hot like this, that fish can maneuver, go up and down. With the wind and a little cloud, it's going to change up what a lot of these guys were doing. So, and I think dissecting the lake can be a real bonus round when you get to put five fish a day in the well. If you can put five fish a day in the well, you'll do okay in these tournaments, because a lot of the guys will burn out that first day, and the changing of the weather is going to change up mm-hmm. too. That last day, like Dean says, when it goes to clear skies or high skies, and if you've been fishing in that, it's one thing. When the wind comes and a cloud cover comes, if that happens, it changes up the lake a little bit, and it'll change up some of the styles of fishing that some of these guys were doing, and it's going to make for a better tournament, I actually think.
You know, and Stan and Wendy, Tony brought up a very good point. You know, we've talked about how good or how poor the lake is fishing, but it's endurance. Endurance is a big part of the factor. Fishing 3 days of pre-fishing and then another 3 days of tournament fishing, and tournament fishing isn't like pre-fishing. When you're in tournament, it's just stepped up to a whole different level. And it's a matter of endurance. Are you going to be able to hold up? Is your equipment going to be able to hold up? Equipment's
exactly.
A big factor.
Exactly. And the winds on this lake. We can turn windy in a matter of 15 minutes.
Yep.
And you can be in one basin of the lake and it'll be calm. And you move up to another basin and it isn't. Or you get up to the upper basin, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Colville Bay, and it's nice and calm. You hit that open water, and it isn't. So you need to make sure you allow enough time to get back.
That is
because there's been guys that haven't made it because they hit rough water.
Because the true words have never been spoken. Because you can be up there, and you know, all the way up in Greg's Basin, and that's pretty nice. And then as you get down towards Temple Bar, you know, okay, there's a little breeze at Temple Bar, and you're starting to get a little bump, and by the time you get to the basin, it can be 7 feet.
Oh, it really can be, and we've had so much humidity this summer.
George, we're up against the top of the hour break. To read more information about the U.S. Open, the way you see it, how's the best way for people to find that information?
Well, go to KramerGunFishing.com. It'll show how my practice went, and when I get back home, we'll do my eulogy.
I hope not, George. I hope you just catch him up, big guy. And
George, it's
get in that check line at least.
It's great to see you on out there. Hey, we got to take a break right now. George Kramer, thank you very much for being with us.
And thank you.
Tony, you could stick around, too. You know, you're listening to Rod Reel Radio with Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. We're live from the 2012 One Bass U.S. Open. You know, there's a lot more fishing happening in Southern California. We hope to get to that in the next hour. You keep on listening. There's still another hour of show left. Stay tuned.
Do Do you know someone who is struggling, upside down, or facing foreclosure? 7 out of 10 people let their homes go into foreclosure without ever contacting a real estate professional. Why not contact a certified distressed property expert and realtor who can provide the expertise and experience to help your family? A foreclosure and a short sale are not the same. There are significant credit, purchase, and security differences. There are new federal guidelines in place to help. Time is not on your side, but we are. Call to speak with the distressed property expert. All calls are handled with the utmost dignity and care. Call Margaret Lynn, a licensed broker associate of REMAX Olson, at 818-832-2623. That's 818-832-2623. Get the facts. Get some help.
Hi, it's Tony Gwynn. You can count on El Cajon Ford. I do, and I have for years.
El Cajon Ford has the cars and trucks you can count on, like Fusion, Motor Trend's 2010 Car of the Year, and America's favorite, the all-new F-150. El Cajon Ford knows trucks, no matter what you're hauling or towing, and for some fun in the desert, too. Now at El Cajon Ford, get special savings on your favorites, like Super Duties. El Cajon Ford has commercial trucks, too, including the all-new Transit. Finally, a commercial van with great mileage, helping your business get moving again. El Cajon Ford is proud to partner with great businesses like Alonzo Painting and Construction, B&B Heavy Equipment Sales and Rentals, Kirk Paving, Aztec Landscaping, and Western Rim Constructors. New or used, come to El Cajon Ford, worth the short drive from anywhere in San Diego County. Just take 8 East past the Grossmont Summit to the Greenfield exit in El Cajon, then left on Greenfield over to Broadway in Maine. El Cajon Ford. Shop the entire selection online anytime, like right now. ElCajonFord.com. ElCajonFord.com.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Aaron Martins. For winning the 2004 U.S. Open, I drove away with a new Ford F-150 truck supplied by El Cajon Ford. Nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Well, if you can hear it in the background, the team meeting for the 2012 U.S. Open here in Lake Mead is now going underway. And, you know, the fishing is going to be rated as pretty good over here, Stan and Wendy. But, you know, I want to spend a little time. We're going to get a call from Bobby Taft telling us what's happening there. But the offshore fishing in San Diego is off the hook. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's been good for me the last couple of trips I've been on.
And, you know, the last trip I went on, it was just awesome for me.
Well, we didn't get a chance to talk to you, Wendy. You went on the Ranger 85, wasn't it?
Yes, I went on the Ranger 85 on the 25th through the 28th. And Dustin, the captain, put us on to some awesome fishing. Our first day out on the water, we were catching 100-plus-pound bluefin tuna. It was an 8-hour plunker bite.
Did you get one of those bad boys?
I got one of those bad boys. I got one that taped out at 110.
Nice, girl. There we go. That's your biggest fish, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a personal best for me, but, you know, shoot, I couldn't believe it. It was all bluefin. Oh, and we had Dorado yellowtail, but not only that, we had 3 30-pound albacore on the boat.
Nice. Man, that's a surprise. That's been that little bonus pack thing that comes in on every once in a while in the boats. You'll see these 30 to 40 pound albacore just show up, and you get onesie twosies on those. So that's like the ice cream on the cake there.
Oh, it was. It was an amazing trip. Big fish taked out at 125.
Well done. So what were you using for rods and reels, and you know, what were you using on yours?
Well, I was prepared. I had my Abbott reels. I had my SX all the way up to my LX that I brought. So I was prepared. I was using 65-pound Spectra, a 40-pound first string blue, and with my LX. And so I was easily able to get in there with the guys and fight those fish.
You know, that's a perfect combo because the fish like that blue. That bluefin likes blue line, so that's a good choice.
And you know, the size hook, I used anything from a 2.0 to a 4.0.
Perfect, perfect. So how long did it take you to get that bad boy in?
About an hour. I got sawed off on one big fish that was bigger. I mean, this thing was taking line, taking drag. I lost one by being sawed off, and then another one I pulled the hook in after 45 minutes.
Well, that's that big fish fishing. That's sometimes the fish you got to win, and every once in a while you got to have somebody that's working with you to get the ones that you're. If two you get put together there, and sometimes on that big fish, if you get a couple of them and then they get a little hinky, they start moving around real quick. You can get three people in a spot real quick, and that, especially one moving fast, it can change up everything real quick.
You know, let's talk a little bit. You know, there are some big bluefin out there. There's some big yellowfin out there, and it seems like they're relatively close. They're in that 60 to 120 mile range, well within the overnights and the day and a half and the 2 day boats. When a fisherman is getting ready for this type of a trip, going out on an overnight, why don't you tell us a little bit about the gear they should be bringing with them?
Well, Wendy was saying it. You know, she'd got everything from the SX to the LXs on the Ovets, and 65-pound braid to 40 or even 50, especially when you get into that bigger fish, because you just don't know when it's going to pop up. But 40-pound, if you've got on that bigger fish like that, you can land them, especially with the newer two-speed gear. If they'll bite the heavier line, man, put it in. Let them eat it if they will. But a lot of times that bluefin gets kind of picky about what it wants to take. So be prepared. You got to start. Most of these guys, and they'll tell you that the fish that are biting, they don't care. So start with 30 and have your 40 ready. And I'd take 50 on all of our trips no matter what, just in case. And if you want to take a 25-pound with you, that you can do that too in case you get on that smaller fish that gets real picky and you got to get a bait away from the boat. But how picky was that 100-pound stuff?
You know, we got into a little flurry and it was just wide open boiling 100-pound fish all around the boat.
Yay.
So, but when it did slow down, we did drop down to 25-pound test. But you have to, you know, make sure you have good gear. There were guys that had their reels being blown up, and a lot of people were losing a lot of fish. Some guys were using rods that weren't stiff enough, that had no backbone, and they just looked like they were using a buggy whip.
Very good point there. You got to have the right rods to support the weight, especially when you get into bigger fish. You get a two-weaker rod. And then even if you've got a decent reel, not the new two-speeds, but even with a two-speed reel, if you haven't got the right rod, you're going to be sitting on this fish for a long period of time because there's no lift power to the rod. You got to do all
That's
the work
right.
yourself.
That's right. And in fact, we had one guy that took 2.5 hours to bring
Holy
in
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. And, you know, and that was because he didn't have the right gear. He didn't have the right rod. He had the right reel, but he didn't have the right rod. And so it was very difficult for him to bring in his fish. It was a good thing we weren't at Guadalupe because that thing would have been eaten.
Well, that's the good thing about open water. At least there's nobody but the angler next to you to get involved with there. So that's good.
Right. You know, and make sure you pick a, I know right now it's kind of tough the way the water's so warm and the bait, you know, isn't so hot. But just make sure you get the liveliest bait you can find in the live well because that did make a difference.
And if you're on one of those trips where you've got 2 days, whatever, keep changing the bait out. If you're not getting bit after 10 minutes or so of a soak, then get it back down, put a new bait on, and get it in the water again, start all over again. Get the bait away from the water, the bait away from the boat. When it quits swimming, a lot of the times, keep in contact. That keep constant contact with your bait makes a big difference. If your bait's not moving, turn the handle and move the bait for itself. Start just turning the handle, and the slow movement on your part can trigger the strike reaction from that fish when your bait starts moving again. So that's one of the.
Dan, that's a great point. That's a great point, because actually one of the big fish that I caught, I got him on the retrieve.
That slow retrieve, I'd call it walking my baby back home. if you've got a bait, pinned through the nose, and you get that bait away from the boat a little ways, and you're not bit, but the fish are around. I do it all the time on a trip. I'll start reeling slow. I actually put it in low gear and just kind of grind it slowly back to the boat. That you've got the fish in a constant movement. If you don't turn the hook in his nose and he's not spinning back there, he'll walk straight back along the surface back to the boat. And it's not every time, but a lot of the times you're going to get bit doing that, especially on this yellowfin and that bluefin. More than once on this last trip I was on, it was like the fish were inside where I knew I was, and I turned the handle a few times and stopped it where I knew the fish were, I would be in the zone, and as soon as I took another turn or two, I got bit. So that's just one of those little tips that you got to be, one, in touch with your bait, and two, keep your bait moving. If it quits moving, move the bait for yourself. And if it's time, just bring it back in and put another one in.
Now, right.
With this patty hopping that they're doing, where they're finding big Dorado, yellowtail, and they're finding tuna under the patty, especially with the way these boats are going out packed the way they are, how should the fishermen be approaching fishing these kelp patties as the boats go by them?
I had told my guys on these last couple of trips, because you get some new people, I guess, when you pull up on the kelp patty, don't throw on the kelp patty. Get your bait, put the bait in the water as you're coming up to the kelp patty, and make sure your bait's a ways off. I've watched these guys going, I don't see anything underneath it. Well, that's a good thing, because if there's nothing underneath it, it means that if there were bait fish there's nothing underneath there chasing it around. But if there's nothing underneath the patty when you come up, then you really don't want to get bit right there on the patty, because they'll go back underneath it. A lot of times you can lose the fish to the kelp underneath the patty if they go back to it. Yellowtail are famous for that. But if you can get your bait away from the patty and you hang a fish, you got a lot better chance, one, of getting your fish back in, and two, you're not in that big tangle in the corner. Because a lot of the time everybody puts it in right, they all want to throw at it. I want to throw past it and get my bait in the water so that it's way back there, away from the patty, or wait till everybody gets in and then put your bait in. So you can kind of manage your time, and you'll see what's there. Sometimes I stall a lot before I put a bait in the water. So, breathe through your nose. Don't put it on the patty.
Another good trick is, like you said, wait. Just drop it at the stern. It's going to go right where it needs to go.
And if you've been there, once you hit the patty and you start your drift, walk to the bow. Get it away from the boat, throw it out, throw bait off the bow. That bow is a great spot to fish.
Hey, guys, let me interrupt you for just a minute, because I've had someone stop on by over here. It's a good friend of Rod and Reel Radio, and Stan, good friend of yours too, Byron Velvick. Byron, how you doing, guy? All right, let's get you piped in over here. Okay. Okay, how you doing?
Testing, testing.
All right.
There you are.
Byron?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me? Hey,
yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hey, Byron.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
So how do you think the fishing is, Bi?
I think I've heard it's pretty good for some guys. I don't know, but there's a lot of dock talk flying around. It's the day before the U.S. Open, so dock talk runs rampant.
Oh, that's the way it works there, isn't it?
I mean, I think everybody swears they'll have 15 pounds tomorrow, and guys are like, man, the biggest smallmouth of their lives and all that other stuff, so I'll believe it when I see it all.
Well, see, those are the guys that caught them already.
Yeah, show me the money, just like
that's
Jerry Maguire.
Exactly,
show me,
correct.
Show me the bass, Jerry. Show me the bass.
That's right. So, now you've had a chance to pre-fish that I take?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I spent 5 days out here.
So how do you think the fishing is?
I think it's spotty, but it's good. You know, I mean, it's not bad. It's not horrible. It should be a good event. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for running around and just fish a lot of memories.
Ah, that's cool. Now, what do you think about the weather changing here?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play into it. That's going to be real interesting. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with the weather, and who knows what they're thinking, you know, as far as the forecasters, because they're always saying something, and then you never see what they say it's going to be.
Well, if it does turn cloudy and rainy, let's say, because there's a push coming in from the south, you're going to get some wind, maybe south wind, too, along with, who knows, well, cloud cover, maybe some rain, or at least thunder showers, they said, might happen in your arena. What do you think the fish will do then?
Well, I take all that with a grain of salt, because I was here last Saturday when they were calling for severe thunderstorms and even flash flood warnings. And I was driving out. My friends were like, gosh, there's beautiful weather out here. You're not missing anything at all. It was gorgeous. And I don't like fishing. And I don't like fishing in the rough weather. So I know the fish here don't work as well.
Hey, Byron, that's a sign. We've got to take a little break over here. We got Byron Bell with us. And we're broadcasting to you live from the U.S. Open. Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Tushar is also with me. I'm Hop Along, John Cassidy. We're going to break for a minute. Hopefully we'll be able to hold Byron over this break. You're listening to Rod Reel Radio on AM 540. We'll be right back.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
H&M Landing is the most diversified sport fishing company on the West Coast. Serving the angling community since 1935, H&M Landing's name recognition and reputation for customer service is the best in the business. The H&M fleet provides the widest range of trip options and boasts the coast's largest open party fleet. For ocean fishing any time of the year, H&M Landing should be your choice for nearshore and offshore fishing. H&M is San Diego's most experienced sport fishing company, offering the best in half-day, three-quarter-day, full, and multi-day trips, and a complete schedule of long-range adventures. Call today, H&M Landing, 619-222-1144, or visit their website at www.hmlanding.com for updated schedules and secure online booking. H&M Landing, the experienced angler's first choice in local and multi-day fishing since 1935. That's H&M Landing at 619-222-1144 or hmlanding.com.
Hi, this is BSS record holder Dean Rojas. El Cajon Ford helped me when I got started in my career, and let them help you with a new F-Series Ford truck. And remember, nobody beats El Cajon Ford.
Hey, welcome back to Rod Reel Radio. Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Tushahara, I'm Hop Along, John Cassidy. We're broadcasting to you live from the U.S. Open in Las Vegas, and we've got Byron Velvick with us, and we're going to have him here for just a short time because they're going to be going over the rules, and Byron has some questions about the rules. But, Byron, really quickly, you've had an opportunity to fish all over the United States. You fished some of the greatest bodies of water anywhere. What's the mystique of coming back and fishing the Lake Mead?
Well, for me, this is where the whole career started. I mean, when I first won this thing as a kid, as a real young man, I go, that kind of started me in a career of professional bass fishing. So coming back here and having won this twice and had chances to win so many events here, it's like I just love fishing a lake that I know very well, and it's a walk down memory lane for me. And it really is neat. You know, hopefully it's made a lot of other guys' careers, and it was fortunate enough to start my fishing career right here in Lake Mead.
All right. Hey, Byron,
it's just a fun event to fish, and once you get comfortable on the river lakes, you know, and you understand a little bit of how they operate, it's a zone that you can go play in and compete in, and it turns into just a great, fun experience. And that's the guys that like to fish the open. Even like Dean was saying, you know, you can come and kind of go to the party because it's just a fun event.
It's a fun event. And that's the best part about it. It's enjoyable.
Byron, why don't you go take in the rules over here, because I know you've got some questions. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, guys.
One question, Byron. How's that little daughter of yours?
Daughter's awesome. I love it. The fatherhood has been fantastic.
Attaboy.
Thanks, Dan.
Pro Bass Angler, Byron Velerick. Byron, sir, thanks for being with us. And, you know, Tournament Director Bill Cook is going over the rules right now, and it's imperative, you know, at the beginning of the show, we've been talking about how important the rules are, and he had some specific questions about the rules, and that's what's happening right now at the team meeting. Hey, you know, guys, I hate to bounce back and forth like this, but we have guys coming in and out all the time. But, you know, it's hard to ignore just how good the fishing is off of Southern California right now. I mean, we're here at Lake Mead, and I think they're going to anticipate having one of the best fishing events they've had here in a few years just because they've had stable water. But with these tropical depressions coming up from the south, especially John coming through, I know we're expecting a call from Bobby Taft. He's trying to get a hold of us on the sat phone. And a little bit, Greg Meiser will be talking about us. But Stan and Wendy, I think this fishing is just going to get better.
Well, I actually think that the ocean has sustained itself here. You know, we had a little later start for the season, but the season, there's no reason not to keep going. The fishing's just been fabulous, and you don't have to go, you know, a super long way to get your sometimes a fish of your lifetime. Look what happened to Wendy there. That's super. Yeah, and you don't get a shot at catching that 100-pound bluefin, but once in that blue moon, so to speak. Although we had a blue moon in the month that she caught her tuna, I think. But that style fishing is available now, and you can just jump on and run out there. You know, I still think more than one day is the way to go. Give yourself a chance. If you can take two, do it. If you can take three, do it. I'm kind of watching the water as it's doing is this warm-up. We get a big push, a lot of warm water. I've got a 10-day coming up on the Intrepid on the 20th of October. The boat will just be coming back from the first long run. Kevin's going to take the boat down every year. He's the first boat to go down to the bank below and then maybe over to Clarion and then come back up the line and find that fish, which we did last year. At this 11-day we're on this year, we're going to target that big fish if it's around. Trying to find it if that water's real, real, real hot is going to be kind of unique. But that being said, in 05 and 06 when it was really warm down there and that fish came up in numbers, we could see the same thing. So it's going to be an interesting time. You're going to have to see where the water finally gets a little cool input. We've seen huge success for the Wahoo guys. If you're going on that 7 to 10 day run, Alejos Rocks has been real productive. The spots that they've been fishing have been, you know, good for the tuna. You've seen a lot of that 60, 70, 80 pound stuff that's coming in from down there also. So, you know, it's just kind of winding up to be a really good year.
Well, you know, Stan, and I interrupted you when Byron Velvick came on, but we were talking about the predominant, it seems like the private boaters, the half day, the three-quarter day, and even the overnighters, which a great number of the fishermen are right now, they're going paddy hopping. And you started talking about fishing the paddies before I interrupted you. If that's the way that the boats are going and catching their fish, what are some of the things that the fishermen should be ready to do to hit these paddies in the right way?
Have a hook on, tied on. basically, you know, just don't have big line. Don't throw small stuff in on that first one, especially around the kelp paddies, because you don't know whether it's going to be dorado, you don't know if it's going to be tuna or yellowtail. And the yellowtail that have been on that stuff, I mean, there's some of that stuff that's close by that you catch that little 2-pound yellowtails that are on it, but the next one you go up to, it'll be all 32 to 35-pound yellowtail or something. It's just like going fishing. You never know what you're going to get until you get there. So be prepared, especially on the first one. Don't throw at the kelp paddy. Throw it away from the kelp paddy. Get the boat, you know, as the boat's sliding up to it, put your bait in the water and let it get away from it. The fish will find your bait. Don't worry about that part.
You know, there's also
Also, a lot of guys jump on the boat and they've had their fishing rods in the garage and they haven't used their rods for a year or maybe 6 months and, oh, I only used it once, and they go out there and use that line that's been on their reel. Change your line.
Excellent. Excellent point. You know, the only thing between you and your fish is the line. And change it out every trip if you expect to catch fish and you want to bring them home, especially if it's the only trip you're going on during the year. Don't cheat yourself. That's the first rule. Take care of your stuff. Take care of you first. Make sure you give yourself the best shot at putting those fish on the deck. I'll tell you, one of the things that we got on the last two trips that we went on were the mega baits from the new ones that came out. We had them from John that we got out there, and man, that was a fish-catching little bait, and it didn't make any difference whether it was yellowtail or tuna or even the Dorado. We're trying not to use them on the Dorado. If there's Dorado there, by the way, don't throw iron on the Dorado. It's much better to hook them with a bait, because when they get airborne and start shaking, if you're loaded up on a rod with a piece of iron in its mouth and it comes up and it shakes it out, it comes back at you or somebody else at speed, and it's not necessarily a great thing. We had one guy get hooked right in the arm with the treble when the bait came undone. We had to shove the hooks through and cut them off and pull the hooks out. So don't throw iron on the Dorado. You know, you might want to always start with bait, I would think, and then if you want to, you can drop down. After you got past the kelp patty, there's nothing wrong with dropping straight down with that mega bait. About, you know, let it go down a couple hundred feet and then wind it in quick, because they're a reaction bite situation, and that fish, if they're on the surface, I mean, you can throw it right on the surface too. They'll eat it. So good little bait if you haven't got them. That 4 ounce is a good one to start with.
And Stan, I think you brought up a good point that the fishermen have to realize they don't have to throw right on top of that kelp padding to catch the fish. They can be a couple hundred yards off that paddy and there'll still be fish underneath it.
Well, the fish aren't always on the paddy. The fish are swimming around that or underneath it at depth. You know, they'll maybe down 60 to 100 feet below the paddy, but they're usually not right directly underneath it, but they're around it, especially if you don't see any bait on it. That's a good thing, because the fish have chased the bait off, and they're chasing the bait around now. So those are little keys to the thing. You know, make sure that we had a guy that one of the paddies we found, we found one that was about half the size of the boat, and we picked away on that one for a little bit, but there wasn't a whole lot of fish on that, but just a little ways further up the line there, or down the line, there was another kelp patty on it. And I'm sitting in the wheelhouse with Bobby, and I go, this is going to be a good one. And the guy next to me said, why? I go, well, there's a blue trash bag on it. And he goes, well, you know, why would somebody throw a trash bag on that one? I go, because they're trying to tell you this one's loaded. And it was. You know, we stayed on that one from 11 o'clock to 5:30. So it only takes one to make you well out there. Fish it smart, and you'll do a whole lot better.
You know, and Stan, some people don't realize that sometimes the boat can actually become the paddy.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. As soon as you move up to that kelp paddy, the boat is a whole lot bigger place to hide under than the kelp paddy, and the fish come underneath the boat. So that's why we're saying don't throw at the kelp paddy. The fish will find your bait. They're real good at that, by the way. They're opportunists. If you got bait in the water, they're going to find it, and especially, you know, when you get under that where you've got a large body of fish, you don't know what you've got until you get there, but if you got a large body of fish there, everybody's going to get bit.
Boy, that sound advice, you know, guys just don't realize that, you know, they don't have to be right on top of that paddy. They can be off. Those fish can be in deeper water, and sometimes the better fish are off the paddy and away from it. Wendy, tell me, you know, with Iserline, you sell a lot of Spectra. Do you have to use Spectra on these bluefin tuna, or do you still think going with the copolymer or the monofilament is the way to go?
Well, I prefer the Spectra, because with these big bluefin, there's a much
a much better bet that you're going to need that capacity with the Spectra. It's smaller in diameter. It's one-third the diameter of mono. And so, you know, if you get one of those tankers on there, you're going to want the capacity.
You need the capacity.
Yeah.
You get one of those big ones on, you get bit a little ways from the boat, because let's say you've got that bait that went out there and took off, and now it's 200 feet from the boat or better, and then you get bit by one of those big fish, and it takes off, and now you're thinking, you know, normally on a, let's say, a Jigmaster size reel, you got about 300 yards of mono on that thing, if you got 40 pounds on that type of thing, and you're going, well, now what do I do? With the advent of the Spectra line being on there, you can fill your spool almost all the way up and use a short top shot of monofilament. It makes it easier for that bait to swim away from the boat because he's not dragging 300 yards of mono. He's only going to drag that, whatever it is, 20 feet or you know, 50 feet, whatever you've got for a top shot. And it's easier for the bait to maneuver. It's easier for him to swim and be lively. And plus that Spectra floats, so it can, when it comes off there, he's not dragging a whole lot of extra weight around. When you get a big body of or a big bow in the line there, you're going to be better off with your bait swimming more freely and easily with that Spectra. So, and then you've got 300 or 400 yards below that. Well, more than that, you can get up to 500 yards of Spectra on the, depending on the reel. So you'll always have enough line. Is that our break music?
Yep, you are listening to Rod Reel Radio. It's time for a break. You've been listening to Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Rod Reel Radio mobile unit is broadcasting to you live from the One Bass U.S. Open in Las Vegas. Hopefully, we're going to hear from Greg Meiser after we get back, but we've got to take a commercial break. We'll see you in just a couple of minutes.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey, bass fishermen, who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. Since 1994, I've put 315,000 miles on my Elkhorn Ford. Thanks to the Elkhorn Ford Service Department, I'm still rolling. For price, service, and selection, nobody beats Elkhorn Ford.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. You know, when I'm in Southern California, I make it a point to listen to Rod and Reel Radio.
And welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio. You've got Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. We are broadcasting to you live from the U.S. Open at the Boulder Station Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. This is the 30th event. Right now we're right in the middle of the team meeting. And, you know, Stan, Cliff Perch was first out, and I'm glad we got Byron while we got it. Byron went out sixth, so they're going to get a chance to get to their water.
You know, that's for the first day. You're going to have a short day because of the Yeah, you're first out, and you'll probably be last out the last day. Now, for me, I would think that would be an optimum situation because it gives you the opportunity to get to the water you want to fish first. It's not beat up at all, and you can, if you make the right choice here, you can load the wagon pretty quick. And then the problem is on mead, if you get a good weight the first day, and maybe your first spot, you can load the wagon because you've got the opportunity to fish the whole Cotton Pickin' Lake ahead of everybody else. Then you've got to make a decision about what are you going to do for the rest of the day, because you don't want to beat up your fish. You can't go hook a bunch of fish because they're not going to be there the next day. If you got to up your weight, that's a different story. But if you got a good weight, and it can happen real quick on that lake, especially with what we call wolf packs, where you'll have a pack of fish that are all 2 to 3 pounds, and they're all maybe 5 to 10 of them or better swimming through in little groups through an area, and they're all attacking bait. Well, when that happens, you can make 5 casts, put 15 pounds in the bucket real fast. And then the problem is that's a wolf pack. They're swimming through. They're not going to be there the next day. They were just attacking the bait. They were opportunists at that point in time. Now you get to go look around for what you're going to do the second day and not catch fish. That's a tough thing. What I'm hearing from these guys, too, they've all been fishing this high skies, bright skies, and not much wind. If they get 20-mile-an-hour winds on that body of water for this next 2 days, that's going to change the fishing up. It can actually, for the guys that know where to go and what to throw, be a real plus. But the problem is, when it comes to that third day, when you get high skies again and no wind or no clouds, it's going to change it up dramatically. So the tough are going to get real tough on that last day. So that's what both Byron and Dean were saying. We'll see what happens. It's going to be the guy that knows how to, that Southern California style is going to be deeper fishing and more methodical in your thinking. So this is going to be just a fun tournament to watch. It'll be fun. Cliff Perch is a stick, obviously, out there on that body of water. Byron knows what he's doing. Six, that's a great draw. I hope the best for both of them, actually.
Let's take a break right now. Because
we'll see where it goes. Yeah. If I was me, I'd be pretty tickled with the draw. You always want to get out and get on the water quick.
Stan, let's take a break right now. We've been playing a run-and-gun game over here, getting guests on as they come along, because with the fishing the way it is, we only have a moment at a time, and we've got one of the skippers, the owner-operator of Dolphin 2 Sports Fishing with us, Greg Meiser. Hey, Greg, tell us the latest. What is happening off our Southern California coastal waters?
Good fishing right now. Very good fishing, mixed bag fishing. We're catching more and more yellowfin closer to home every day. And we've got good stable bluefin fishing, as well as good fishing on the kelps for yellowtail, Dorado. We're even catching a few nice great albacore.
You know, that's amazing. How far out are you having to go before it starts, Greg?
Oh, well, three-quarter, guys. You're catching them right outside the islands here. But, you know, most of our trips, we've been starting somewhere between 60 and 80 miles. You don't have to go that far to catch something, but that's where we've been starting a lot of our trips. Some trips we roll down a little further. Sometimes we stay right there.
Yeah, Captain,
well, that's
Greg,
a good sign, because it means you can get there quick, and you don't have to go that far, and you can spend a lot more time fishing than traveling.
Yeah, exactly. Now, when we're waking up in the morning, we're in fishy water, so that's a nice thing. Not having to burn up your first couple hours of the morning traveling, you know.
Well, a lot of times, too, if you drive out there and you happen to get some kind of a mark, you can stop the boat, and in the morning, a lot of times you'll just put the bait over the side and go start right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a great light bite. Yeah, absolutely.
Captain Greg, how you finding these fish? I mean, are you starting off on kelp patties? Are you going into areas where you know the fish have been, and then you start trolling for them? Are you finding marks on the meters? You know, when you wake up in the morning and it's time to go fishing, how do you start off?
covered it. All the above.
Well, thank you, Greg. We'll talk to you next week. No.
All of the above. A lot of the better hits have been coming off kill patties. A lot of the better hits come off kill patties. There have been jig strikes around, sonar marks, spots of jumpers, gray light bites, you name it. You know, it depends on what area you're in and what particular species of fish you're on at the time, but it's real good mixed bag fishing right now.
Now, what is that albacore doing in there? I mean, we all thought that the albacore left us and they're up there at Morro Bay and vacationing off of Oregon. Are you catching those on the troll, or are they in the mix with the other tuna?
Oh, everybody's kind of had a, you know, it's by no means great shakes on the albacore, but, you know, I think everybody's caught a few. Few on jig strikes, you know, get a jig strike, get your bait fish. A few drifting off kelps. No real rhyme or reason to it. I think these might be local fish, honestly. It's really hard to say. I mean, everything we've caught has been better grade. Not that we've caught a whole bunch of them, but they've all been 25 plus pounds, with the most of them being 35 pounders. That's kind of been the average on the few albacore that have been caught.
And
that's
Greg,
good fishing.
The bait situation, you know, we talked about warm water, quick turnover of the bait, the trawlers not being able to go into Mexican water to get bait. Are you still looking at pretty good bait to fish these fish with, or are they puny?
It's day to day. I mean, this bait company is outstanding. They're doing the best they can. It's a very tough situation that they're in right now with the hot water and getting the bait to stay good. It's a day to day thing. You know, I'll be honest, we have had some pretty poor tanks of bait, but every so often we get a nice tank of bait. But we're just fortunate that we have bait and have bait to fish with. These guys, this bait company, has really put in their time, and I don't want those guys' job. Talk about high stress.
Oh, man. With the bait the way it is and stuff like that, are you finding more of the fishermen also fishing the iron? And if you're fishing the iron for these bluefin, what are some of the suggested irons and colors to use?
Mostly heavy irons, you know, your chrome and blue and white, you know, fishing on 40 or 50 pound yo-yo style fishing. I mean, most of our fish are coming on a live bait. There have been a few. And then if you guys catch fish on the mega bait, you know, you always got your select few anglers that fish the mega bait quite a bit. And we've had some fish on that, but I'd say 90 to 95% of our fish come on a live bait.
All right. And, you know, you have some special trips coming up now. Captain Greg, you were telling us about one coming up in September, but you've got some really unique limited load trips coming up. Can you tell us about those trips?
This week we have 3 one-day trips online. Those are all super light on reservations right now. They're all definite goes. That's fishing Wednesday, fishing Thursday, fishing Friday. Friday night we're sold out. Sunday night we're chartered. And then we'll have a couple more online for the following week. I haven't set my schedule in stone for the last week in September, but the next chance to get on the boat here is the next few days. We're leaving here in an hour or two on a day-and-a-half trip, and then we'll be back in Tuesday morning and back out Tuesday night on those open party trips. If anybody wants to jump on, now would be the time.
You know, Captain Craig, how's it looking? You know, we're talking into really late summer, early fall right now. Does it look like these fish are going to stick around?
I'm liking it. I'm going to say yes. You know, this yellowfin is not getting further away, let's put it that way. It's coming closer and closer. 2 days ago, we had a real little scrappy kelp, and the fish really came to the boat and basically full-speed fishing. And guys were catching them on the 60-pound and stuff like that. And that wasn't very far from home. That was 60-something miles from home, which a week or two ago, those fish weren't there. So I'm liking it. I'm going to say yes. You know, the only thing that would really keep us from going well into October would be an early set of fronts. You know, big set of northern fronts come down and push the fish down. But so far,
don't see that happening.
So good. Yeah. Yeah, knock on wood, I'm liking it right now.
That's good. That's great. Well, you know, it's a sign everybody should get out and get them while you can, because this doesn't happen all the time. So, you know, jump out there and get on a boat, boys.
That's right. That's right. You know, go ahead.
Captain Greg, the grade of the bluefin that you're finding out there, are they seem to be getting larger, or you have a mixed bag, or is it just depending on how you hit them on a particular day?
Yeah, there's mixed schools, you know, anything from 15 to 25-pound schools, and then there's been some of that, you know, 35 to call it 45-pound fish, a few 50-pounders mixed in. And a couple days back, we were actually very, very fortunate to get on a school of those big ones. We ended up landing, it was on an overnight trip, we ended up landing 15 fish in between 60 and 105 pounds.
Yeah, buddy. Wow. That's what I'm talking about right there.
So you can imagine how many casualties we had, but it was an awesome bite.
Captain Greg Meiser, I love fishing on the Dolphin 2. It's one of the better fishing boats in the fleet. If you want to investigate fishing on the Dolphin 2, how's the best way to go about doing it?
You can go ahead and look online, dolphin2charters.com. We'll have a schedule right there online, available trips, and then give Fisherman's Landing a call at 619-221-8500. Let them know you want to go on the Dolphin 2 and make your reservation right there.
Well, Captain Greg, we look forward to getting back to San Diego and talking to you. We talked about some nice limited load trips, which sound like they're going to be a lot of fun. I hope we can get it together and get on out and fish with you on the Dolphin too. Thanks a lot for giving us a call, and good luck going out tonight.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Thanks, Dan. I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Go get them.
Thank you.
All right. Man, you know, you're betwixt and between here, Stan. You want to go bass fishing on Lake Mead yet? The fishing off of San Diego is the best it's been. It's a hard decision to make.
See, for me, I would love to be at Lake Mead. I actually think it would be a wonderful thing if Wendy would go as a AAA or as a non-boater next year. She'd do
Stan,
great.
You know, this is such a great place. They just called John Murray. John Murray walks by. Hi, John. How you doing? Hey, listen, guys, we've got to take a break. You're listening to Rod Reel Radio on AM 540. Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara. I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. We'll be back right after these messages.
Seeker Fishing Rods has introduced a new line of rods. These Super Seekers combine a classic look with the very latest technology and materials. The blanks are brown with a tangerine finish and a double coat of epoxy finish. Proudly made in the U.S., these rods are made from the latest state-of-the-art materials like 120 carbon fiber and S-Class combined with the all-new EH4 epoxy resin system. The carbon fiber base transitions into an S-Class tip, which makes them the most powerful and fastest recoiling rods ever. These rods were built to match today's powerful two-speed reels, such as Ovid and Accurate, that require an extra strong rod with the fastest recoil. When rods break, they usually break on the bottom side of the rod, because when a rod bends, the top can stretch more than the bottom can compress. Using an S-glass tip and an EH4 resin system means these rods have three times the compression strength of E-glass, and they have a faster recoil. The Super Seeker series boasts of models from the lightest bait rod to the heaviest stand-up rod, and now they have the brand new 10-foot Ulua rod. See the line of Super Seekers at Seeker Rods. And try one now at your favorite tackle store.
It's tuna time, and it's time to reserve your spot on one of the newest boats in the fleet. The 70-foot Sea Adventure 2 is the open party boat at H&M Landing in San Diego and has a roomy, comfortable galley that seats up to 24 passengers with all the comforts of home, including two big satellite flat-screen TVs, soda fountain, ice maker, and satellite phone. The huge new bait tank and slammer ensure plenty of bait for everyone, and two 4-ton refrigerated fish holds, both RSW and blast-free, have plenty of room to keep your catch as fresh as the minute you caught it. Reserve your spot on the Sea Adventure 2 online at hmlanding.com or call H&M Landing at 619-222-1144.
Hi, this is Bass Pro Bill Lanier. I own Elkhorn Fords. My family owns Elkhorn Fords, and including my business truck, which has an Elkhorn Ford. I highly recommend that you deal with Elkhorn Ford.
Welcome back, everyone, back to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, Frank Sinatra will not be singing at the Cosmopolitan Hotel's Jazz Vocal Showcase on Tuesday evenings, but local songsters who like his music will be there. Accompanied by Mark Agosti's full house band, they'll be singing your favorite American classics from 6 to 9 p.m. on the Cosmopolitan's Orchard Patio. It's fun. It's free. You got to come on or over. Take advantage of happy hour. Give the Cosmopolitan Hotel a call at 619, and I have their number here, 297-1874. Visit the Cosmopolitan Hotel. I want to apologize to a couple of our advertisers, Catalina Offshore. You know, I just kind of blew your advertisement today, but they have the freshest in seafood coming up this week. Swordfish steaks, wahoo, wild king salmon, red rock cod, black mussels, little neck clams, wild Mexican shrimp, and one of the best things you'd ever want to get into, live Maine lobsters. Give Tommy a call starting on Monday at 619-297-9797. You can either schedule a pickup for your seafood, or you can order a box sent out to you anywhere in the United States. Hey, guys, I know we've kind of had a show that's up and down, but it's kind of part of live radio. You know, next year we're going to have to get the entire crew over here to Las Vegas and have ourselves a time at the U.S. Open. And, Stan, we got to find a way to get you fishing this. Same with you, Wendy.
Well, maybe next year. I don't know what those green things are anymore.
Well, yeah, but you're good at it. You'd be just great at the back end. You know, you could be my non-boater.
All right.
You know, Wendy, if I recall quick, in the past 4 or 5 years, two of the past 4 or 5 winners have been ladies in the AAA division. So it's a tremendous event to go on out. And I know a lot of people here at the U.S. Open know you through your Iserline connections, and so you'd be a natural. And Stan, you're just dying, I know, to get back over here and see what Lake Mead's about, because tremendous fishery. And you know, the way we've talked to all these guys over here, Rick Grover just came on by, he's fishing. The way that we've talked to these people over here, they're fishing everywhere in the country, but they can't wait to get back on Lake Mead.
Well, you know, it's just I love fishing Lake Mead. I remember Gary Dobbins came on the show, and he wasn't real thrilled the first time he was fishing Mead, or second time he'd fished Mead there, and he came on and he goes, "If this was my home lake, I'd move," because it was just it's a tough lake to fish. It's a great equalizer of fishermen, though. If you can figure out how to be consistent on Lake Mead, you can compete with the best in the world. And so this is the playground that these guys are in right now. Lake Mead has been very, very good to me. I've always had a great time there. I enjoy fishing the river lakes, and well, as we grew up fishing them out here in the West, that was the lakes that all your pro tournaments were on. So even our club tournaments used to go to Lake Mead. That's just one of those bodies of water that once you kind of figure it out, it changes on you, and you got to figure it out again. The advent of the smallmouth bass being involved now changes up everything, because now you've got a lot of different tools that you can put into that box before you go out there. And the wind is going to change it on this tournament, too. So it should be, God, I wish I was fishing it. It should be just a great event. I mean, a lot of fun, and I think you're going to see numbers the first 2 days. That last day, I think you're going to see the men separate from the boys. In fact, I know for a fact that will happen. So it always does. You need to be consistent. Every day you got to put 5 fish in the boat. And I don't care if they're 5 1-pounders, get 5 fish in the boat, because you don't know what's going to happen to the other guys. The guy that catches a big weight one day, very rarely will he come in with that big weight the second day, because it's wolf pack fishing a lot of the time. That you get that one shot where those big fish are coming through, and you got, you know, 15 or 20 of them that come into a pocket, and you whack them, and now what do you do? In the rest of your day, you're going to go picking. So that the second day, wind changes and weather changes, now the fish you were on aren't there anymore. What are you going to do? So this is what makes Lake Mead such a wonderful place to have a tournament like this. And a 3-day event separates the men from the boys.
you know, Stan, and being here in Las Vegas, especially at the Boulder Station, a lot of the people here have really enjoyed the hospitality of the Boulder Station, the great food, the gaming. I know a lot of the people here are bringing their wives and families. It's just a fantastic event. You know, I want to invite everyone to join us next week on AM 540 between 5 and 7 for 2 hours of great information. We'll probably have a roundup on what's been happening here at the U.S. Open. We'll also have the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about that great saltwater bite. But, you know, we want to thank you all for listening. We're on for 2 hours now live on AM 540. And if you can't get us on AM 540, listen to us on rodandreelradio.com.
There's a good chance we might even have the winner of the U.S. Open next week.
I think there may be a good chance, that's for sure. Hey, guys, that's it for now. So on behalf of Wendy Toshihara, Stan Vandenberg, I'm Hopalong John Cassidy. And always, in memory of Big Tuna Bill, because, boy, Las Vegas was a place Big Tuna Bill loved to be at, and we know he's with us here in spirit. We want to wish you all a good night. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on Rod and Reel Radio.